This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and with us in the studio, I want to snap to attention when I read this, Lieutenant Colonel...
He's an impressive sight.
Trevor Boswell. He's tall.
Tall.
And he's with NORAD.
Yes, sir.
The guys that are always watching Santa Claus over the
holidays.
That's
correct. Yeah, that's their main duty.
Of all the things we do, yes, that is probably what we are most well known for.
So NORAD grew out of the Cold War, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, we started back in the late 40s, if you will, after the end of World War II. And obviously we identified an issue with needing to protect the homeland, probably more than we had had previously. And from there it kind of grew, and you can see all the stories of Russian bombers and the Soviets and everything else of that nature throughout the time. And then all of a sudden the world changed, and that was 9/11. And that's where our mission stayed the same, but just kind of a little bit bigger of an emphasis item, not just looking outside, but also looking in as well. And that's kind of where we're at today.
Okay, so you're saying that your original mission did not really encompass keeping watch on within the continent.
Definitely, it did, but not to the scale, okay, I think, that it had, or it does now, I should say.
Right.
And so we, in our presentation that we give, we show two different slides showing the radars and the sensors that we utilize to identify the aircraft and all the other airborne threats that we potentially could have coming at us. And prior to 9/11, it was pretty much all outward facing. And now we have a blanket coverage in coordination with the FAA and air traffic control, utilizing their radar capabilities as well.
Okay, so you are a mix of ground and airborne surveillance.
Correct. No, I mean, it's typically all ground. The only time we really ever do any sort of airborne is if we have a limitation with the ground sensors at that point.
Okay.
Are you? Now I remember reading about the Dew line.
Yep.
Many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. Is that still in operation?
It's still there, and this is kind of an application of that. So those are the radars that kind of cover the northern tier of Canada, around Alaska and whatnot, and that is still all there. And we've just added now the Canadian and the North American, basically, air traffic control system.
Okay.
On top of that.
NORAD is based inside of a mountain facility, as I recall.
That's famously where we are from. So if you ever saw the movie with Matthew Broderick, War Games, that's
right.
That's where everybody thinks we are. We are no longer primarily there. That is still a location that we operate out of during more contingency operations. But we're actually at Peterson Air Force Base, which is a joint use field with Colorado Springs International. And so we have a separate building there. And it's a regular kind of office building looking place. And we have that same setup, big room with the big screens and TVs and whatnot. And the command and control is all out of that building now.
Now, I'm assuming that you don't give tours to the general public.
Typically not. They do tours in Cheyenne Mountain because obviously it's a kind of a cool thing and everything. But with COVID and all the restrictions in place with that, those have shut down. But in terms of in building two is the building number that we work out of, no, there are no tours given in that one.
Yeah, I can imagine.
A lot of classified information.
Correct.
In there.
Everything.
Correct.
Super classified. Double secret classified.
Double secret. Okay. So, and what are you guys looking for? Just anything out of the ordinary?
Our first kind of line of defense is the air traffic controllers that are out there, and they do an amazing job of identifying aircraft that don't check in on the right radio frequencies, are going a direction they shouldn't be. And we typically focus on temporary flight restrictions, the TFRs, that are associated with a president or or any of those kinds of normal what you would expect a TFR to be located to, the Super Bowl, those types of events.
Right.
And they're looking at people that aren't squawking the right code, that aren't talking to air traffic control, don't have a filed flight plan, and or are not following the plan that they filed. And so those are the kind of the generic starting points for where they begin to, the hairs in the back of their neck kind of perk up a little bit.
I imagine that happens several times a day because there's an awful lot of people flying.
There's a lot of guard calls out there. Yeah. 121.5 is your friend. For anybody that's listening out there, please monitor that when you are able to do so. If you have a second radio, and just listen up for your call sign or just an aircraft over said location, and hopefully that'll keep you safe as a bottom line. But we try to emphasize doing the right mission planning or the flight planning ahead of time first and avoiding that. So using for flight, checking the NOTAMs. And you can go to www.norad.mil/general aviation, and that will give you kind of the starting point and checklist that you need to follow to help your cause.
So are you the guys that would be calling the escort aircraft if this unidentified doesn't cooperate?
Yeah, so the general timeline of events, an aircraft does something they're not supposed to do, or at least they are looking like they are going to do that, air traffic control starts making radio calls, trying to get your attention, get you to do something different, i.e. not go where you're going. And if it gets to the point of no return, a TFR is typically a 30-mile ring, which is a you can go as long as you've done the flight planning and you're talking properly. A 10-mile ring inside of that, which is a you will not go in there. And if you are still heading towards that 10-mile ring and we haven't gotten a hold of you, then yeah, you can expect some kind of aircraft to come visit and see what's going on.
Yes, yes, yeah. Say hi.
Yeah. But air traffic control is the one that will initiate that process via the communications over the radio. And if they can't get a hold of them, then they'll let us know. And that was one of the highlighted items in 9/11 that we realized was a weak point in that coordination process. And now that is very streamlined. And they have a direct line to us, and we can alert launch fighters as needed. Or if we have airborne fighters, depending on the type of TFR it is, they may be able to scramble and check them out as well.
Right, right. So how many people are on duty at any one time? I mean, that's kind of a vague question. There's
sure. So,
big.
Within the realm of classification, the alert status fighters, we have multiple Air National Guard units around the country that typically fill that role. Sometimes it's active duty, but it's primarily Air National Guard. So it could be F-16s, F-15s, or F-22s if you're up in Alaska. And on duty at NORAD itself, hundreds. There's you know, typical 24/7, 365 days a year, there's a crew on status. And so they're ready to do what they need to do to keep America and Canada, North America in general, safe.
You know, hopefully that escorting is the most you've had to do.
Correct. Yeah.
Not like, hey, we got to fire a warning shot to get this guy's attention.
Absolutely. No. And the procedures, you know, you get intercepted by an aircraft, you'll hopefully be aware. But one of the things that we have trouble doing is figuring out what the intentions of the aircraft pilot in command is intending to do. And so you can't really do that if you're not talking to them. So you need to get eyes on. And so we typically scramble two aircraft at a time. And they'll go intercept the you know, threat aircraft as we identify it. And one aircraft will come by the side so that you can see them and rock its wings and get your attention. And hopefully, as it turns, you're going to go and follow. And that's all well and good. But if you keep going straight or you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, not responding properly, then it will get elevated a little bit. There may be some flares that are expended to continue to get your attention. Always remember that the one that you see is not the one that you should be the most concerned about, because it's the one that's about 2 to 3 miles behind you that is the one that wants to make sure that you're not going to go do something bad.
Yes.
Yeah. I was going to say, I've heard of intercepts where F-16s have done afterburner passes. Mm-hmm. That tends to get your attention.
Depending on how close you are, yeah, they're pretty loud.
Yeah, and hopefully you don't hit the turbulence.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
152 versus F-16.
Not much of a contest.
No, not at all.
Those 152s are rugged, man.
Yeah, they are.
Wow. How do you get to go into NORAD? Is it like an MOS you can apply for?
Well, so I'm an F-16 pilot by trade, and so in my organization, the current ops organization, we typically take 11 Fs, as the Air Force Specialty Code is labeled, and those are fighter pilots of any shape or size, essentially. And from there, we are the planners. We do the standards and the training and everything else for the National Guard units, but it is the National Guard units and the alert pilots that are out on the ground that are the ones that are doing the job, flying out there, doing the missions and stuff. So I know there's a Wisconsin National Guard plane out here. It could be one of them that is sitting alert and waiting to launch as appropriate.
Okay, but how do you become part of NORAD?
Part of NORAD. So I'm actually a reservist. I'm a part-timer.
Okay.
I fly for a commercial airline on the outside. And so it really just gets a target of opportunity. There was a spot that was open at my rank and in my specialty code. And I applied and was fortunate enough to be able to get to go to it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Boring, that airline flying, isn't it?
It's not the same.
Right.
It's
I wonder
quite
why.
The same. That's right.
Well, you know, you fly an airliner. You're also flying an F-16. How the heck did you get the call sign boat?
Yes.
Normally, you don't associate this with the Air Force.
No, not at all. Not at all. Well, so we kind of live by the adage. It either makes sense with your name and it's something funny, or you've done something stupid.
Yeah.
And so boat and Boswell, not the best combo, but stupid absolutely is applicable in this situation. In fighter aircraft, when the weather is poor, you'll take off and typically use your radar to lock onto the person in front of you, fly the departure, and then once you're above the weather, you'll rejoin visually and continue flying on the way. I chose not to communicate that I didn't have a radar lock, essentially went a little too fast for the normal prescribed speeds and ended up passing my flight lead about 50 feet over top of his head and ended up being about 2 miles in front of him when I should have been 2 miles behind him. And that procedure is called a radar-assisted trail departure. And so for all those folks, you know, aviate, navigate, communicate, fly the airplane first, stop fiddling with all the sensors. That's kind of the lesson learned on this one. And so my call sign is blind on assisted trail.
Oh, jeez.
That's funny.
That's right.
Did you hoped you would never live that down?
The only time you get a new call sign is if you do something even more stupid. And so, fortunately, I guess that's as bad as it got, but yeah, it wasn't a great situation to begin with.
But it wasn't too bad. I mean,
I'm sure you got.
I'm sure you're, you know, you had trouble sitting for a few days afterwards.
You know, and I'll tell you what, there are probably people out there done worse things. So.
There are for sure.
None of his efforts cost the Air Force any extra money.
No,
thankfully enough, absolutely.
We appreciate that. You know,
sure,
they're expensive and hard to maintain.
That is very true.
I guess my nickname should be Deer because I keep hitting them.
Yeah.
All right, it's been great to have you, Dirk. We've been speaking with Dirk Braun from NORAD. Whoa,
Lieutenant Colonel Trevor Boswell.
Do your prep, man. Do your prep.
There's your call sign, doofus.
All right.
Thank you, gentlemen.
This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and I'm not the one screwing up on EAA Radio.